Well, welcome back, my friends, to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Had a little microphone glitch a second ago. Got that fixed for y'all, and you got me for the day, so hope you guys are excited. Got a lot of topics we're going to go over and get you guys rolling today. I was on Doug's show last night for 2 hours. Great being with him on the show, and I'm back with you guys today. Ted's out of town. So we got some stuff we're going to cover, a lot of interesting information, and also, too, be sure to stay on top of the different shows we have every day we roll out at thebrowershow.com, and updates, just giving you guys a heads up, updates on the Team Health Masters website. Over the last few months, we've been working on different things. We're changing for you guys, making things a little bit more streamlined, easier to use. Shop Pay, which a lot of people have asked for, makes it really simplistic as far as in checkout. We've been doing all these updates on the back end, so we're going to be pushing some of these updates over the next week. So just bear with us. If there's anything you see, give us a call. We'll be happy to take care of it over the phone. But we're doing everything to make it more streamlined for y'all. We've been listening to y'all for the last 6 months on things you want better, things you want simpler, things you want to have, you know, basically go through easier, and we're doing it for y'all. So thank you again for your support. Be sure, if you need anything, the product of the week, the D3-10,000-K2, incredibly good formula, on sale right now for product of the week. So be sure to check that out, over up 20% off. And there was an article that I talked about briefly on Doug's last night, but it says why I take vitamin D3 in the summer. And this is actually a really interesting article, because it goes into detail on how even when you come outside, in most cases people are out, or they're inside so much, when they do go outside, it's for a minimum amount of time, or they're covered up, or they have a gigantic amount of sunscreen on, which that's a whole nother topic. But D3 is crucial. It's a fat-soluble nutrient that really maintains overall health, helps out with bones, helps out with cortisol, helps out with testosterone, helps out with everything. And in order to get that proper amount, you need to be getting a little bit of sun. But in most cases, it can be difficult for some people to do that. So supplementing really helps out a lot. Now, I had one guy tell me years ago, well, you know, I go out in the sun sometimes, so I don't need to take extra D3. I said, that's cool. It's up to you. So what's your blood levels look like? Well, no, I haven't checked them. And he came back later on. His blood levels are like at 32 or something, 32 or 36. I don't remember exactly. And so I said, that's not bad, horrible. I said, but you really need to try to have over 50. And so what happens is a lot of people believe that getting 20, 30 minutes of sun exposure from their face when they walk outside is going to be all that they need. The studies have shown after about 30 minutes, your body reaches equilibrium. And any more sun exposure doesn't really increase the absorption of vitamin D. So in this case, more is not better. It's the regularity of exposure. And on top of that, when people start basically putting on sunscreen and other things, then it really stops it. So 5 to 10,000 IUs every day is a great dosage, depending on where your numbers need to be. Again, around 50 NGs per milliliter in your blood test is ideal or above. Anything below that, you need to start looking to supplement a little bit more. You start going below 25, 20, you really need to start supplementing with it, because all disease rates continue to go up. If you remember, during COVID, one of the doctors came out and did a research, and he was showing the individuals that came down with COVID, they contracted COVID, the ones that had, I think it was over 40 NGs on their blood test with D3, their effects, their side effects, their basically all the problems they had with COVID dropped off precipitously. Under 40, their side effects and basically issues they had and symptoms were much worse. And the lower the blood levels got of D3, the worse they got. So something just to be aware of on that, why I encourage everyone to stay up to date on the D3. Now, other news too, I saw this earlier, and it looks like RFK Jr. has started to announce new members of the vaccine advisory panel. If you guys remember earlier this week, I talked about it. He wiped out everybody. I mean, he scrubbed the entire vaccine committee on the CDC for good reason. It was a complete debacle. He said basically on the list on here is that 9 of the individuals had been getting direct funds from pharmaceutical companies. And it was completely and totally out of control with what was going on with the conflict of interest. And he goes on to say here, there were some of the numbers that were showing up on what some people got. how much money they were getting. He said some members were paid directly by the pharmaceutical companies. Dr. Jan Maldano, who started their term in the beginning of 2024, received $4.6 million in research funding from Pfizer. $4.6 million in research funding and $39,000 in payments directly from Pfizer and Merck. Her conflict of interest disclosure stated she worked on clinical trials for Pfizer's MC, COVID-19, and RSV vaccines, but she abstained from the related votes. Why in the world, why in the heck are you even on an advisory panel for vaccines if you're listing the fact that you've gotten millions of dollars from pharmaceutical companies and you actually worked on trials for those shots and now you're going to be on the board to approve them, to get them on the shot schedule and give them government contracts to get billions of dollars? The very fact, and this is something we've been watching down here with FWC in Florida. And I highly suggest, any of my Florida listeners, you guys start doing some research on what's going on with Florida Wildlife Control and basically the environmental board that's absolutely whoring out Florida. And I use that term very, very carefully and cautiously, but exactly. They're going in now, and every single person on the Florida Wildlife Board is directly involved with either real estate, commercial real estate, residential, or directly in toll booths, directly in toll growth as far as the toll roads. And so there's been all these gigantic arguments and huge meetings they've been having up in Tallahassee. My brother sent me some of the stuff on it, and it's nuts. There's areas, like there's one area where Lovers Court, where it's like this really beautiful area of Florida. It's all pristine, old Florida, from original way Florida was, off the west coast down there towards like Boca. And they want to go in and put this gigantic pier out on it with restaurants and stores. And everybody's going, nobody's asking for this. Nobody's asking for this in the area. Nobody's asking this from Florida. But yet suddenly this is where you guys want to start developing all this area. And again, it goes back to it. Everybody on that board needs to be voted out, thrown off for cause. This is insane what they're doing in Florida. Now all these protected wildlife, wetland areas in Florida that have been protected for over 100 plus years, they want to put another toll road through it. And what's crazy about it is the roadway expansion and the federal grants and the state grants that these toll roads get are directly tied in with these developers who then get money back from, because remember, they're not putting a toll road over a wetland because it's just going to be a road that goes over a wetland in perpetuity. The only reason they put toll roads in is because they're going to develop the areas around the toll roads. That's the only way they make any money. You put a toll road that goes to nowhere, it's not going to cash flow. Newsflash. Everybody knows that. There's a toll road 429 that goes from I-4 to Apopka that they've now dead-ended. They finally finished it, and then it ties back in and cuts back over to I-4. When they first were doing this 429, I'd gone up there a couple times. The truck company that I work with had a shop in Apopka, and when they were working on it, there was nothing on the 429. And when I mean nothing, I mean it was a road to nothing. It was a super rural area. Now, last time I was on it, 90% of it on both sides now is hyper-developed. High-rise apartments, medium-density apartments, housing complexes, all this stuff on both sides all the way up where they're adding in more and more houses. And so what happens is they want to make enormous amounts of money off development, so they vote themselves more approvals to put areas in and roads in. And this is a serious problem. So again, I'm not going to go into that anymore. Florida, get involved with it down here in Florida like we are, and make your voice heard on this, because it's definitely an issue. And this goes back into what Robert F. Kennedy is saying with these individuals that were on the board receiving thousands of dollars from different pharmaceutical companies and then approving these shots. And one of the biggest things that he's gone into is he ripped CNN over claims on vaccines and placebo-controlled trials. He said no routine injected vaccine on the CDC schedule was licensed for children based on a placebo-controlled trial like with saline. An instance where a vaccine uses control, it was never licensed based on a placebo-controlled trial. And I talked about this on Doug's show last night. So the way they skew the numbers is they'll come out with a shot, say they tested on 100 people. This is just a number. They test the vaccine on 100 people in the control group. Well, the placebo group doesn't get a saline shot. Placebo group gets another vaccine or a denatured vaccine or a cocktail of toxins. So the 100 people that got the vaccine, the control group, 90 of them have severe adverse events. But the other group, the placebo group, has 85 adverse events. So it shows that it washes out and there's only 5 additional adverse events, which is in the standard deviation. So it's totally safe. That's how they manipulate it. Even though 90% of the people had serious adverse events in the vaccine study, because they used a placebo as another toxin and not saline, you have an enormous amount of side effects. There was one right here. I was reading some of the list on it. The lipidized Petavax HIV shot, the RCT55. Look at this. They injected lactose, aluminum adjuvant, and thimerosal, not an inert placebo. Aluminum and thimerosal. And you think you're not going to get any side effects from that. Thimerosal is mercury. There's another one on here. They injected straight aluminum adjuvant in the HPV testing. Not inert. Inert's like a saline solution, which gives you a real true test. You have a group that's getting a shot with nothing in it. You have a group that's getting the vaccine with all these toxic cocktails in it. You compare the two. They don't do that on any vaccine that's ever been approved, because if they did, it would never get approved because of the serious adverse events that show up with these basically clinical trials. One other topic that I was getting into, and I've been doing some more research on it today, is I went into detail last night on Doug with UNFI and this cyber attack that's massively prevented a lot of the food transport to Whole Foods and other ones here now. This is interesting. Cyber attack at grocery stores, pharmacies are worried with Minnesota shoppers now. Apparently it's leaking into today. It started last Thursday, massive cyber attack on UNFI, which they do everything from Whole Foods to different co-ops, 250,000 different grocery stores across the country. They're one of the largest grocer distributor in the entire country, and they've had this massive cyber attack that has crippled them. And they said the problem isn't just leading to potentially empty shelves. Pharmacy systems are now starting to shut down in some cases. Now, again, you know me. I'm not a big proponent of pharmaceutical drugs, but again, you need to get insulin. You need other drugs, maybe antibiotics or somebody that's got infection. Now you start having an issue. So just something to be aware of, and why I encourage a lot of people, make sure you try to stay stocked up on some things on the backside, because at the end of the day, this stuff is, you know, very real. Now, I saw, you know, yesterday I talked to you guys about flying a flag in the United States as an act of essentially defiance. Any flag in the United States flown on U.S. soil is an act of defiance. I don't care what country it's from. Ironically now, the media is coming out and defending Mexican flags being flown as tradition and diversity. Really funny, actually. They want to say here, we see a lot of people with their flags out, and they're showing support for their parents. I feel like every time you ask a young person why they're carrying a Mexican flag or Salvadorian flag, it's, I want people to understand that I'm proud of who I am, and I'm not ashamed to be a Mexican. Cool story. We love that for you. We really do. I love that for you. I'm glad you're proud of where you came from. Great story. The problem is, you're not there anymore. For a reason. If you were, be proud of there and fly their flag. If you're here, fly our flag. Really simplistic. All the way back since the medieval times, you have the coat of arms. You have flags. You have those determining who's on one side and one's on the other side. So everybody knows who to fight. Well, when the castle gets overrun, guess what comes down? Their flag or their coat of arms, and the new one goes up, because you've now defeated that castle, that area, that whatever it may be. This has always been the same way in every conflict. So when you start having people going around and firebombing areas and flying flags of other countries, it is an act of treason in most cases. And they say, well, it's a freedom of speech, you can do it. Yeah, sure, it's the United States. But understand, you are going to be looked at and you are going to be called out for what you're doing. I don't care what flag it's from. For some little sandbox country in the Middle East, or for some another country in South America. If you're the United States, rep the United States. You know, I'm to the point now where I've talked to so many people And I hear, I stand with this country, and I stand with this country. It's a cool story, man. Why don't you go over there and help them fight? Seriously, why don't you go help them fight? Go enlist over there. Go help them fight. I mean, you're that supportive of that country. Cool story. I mean, but as far as I'm concerned, I support this country, this citizens, this America, my patriot friends. I don't care what your background is, ethnicity, race, creed, religion. Don't care. If you're United States American, you're a patriot, and you want to support this country, we're together on that, and we agree on that. May not agree on everything, but the thing about it is there's too much issues in this country now with trying to divide and conquer from within. And that's how you divide a country. That's how you conquer a country, is you conflict everybody from the way in. If somebody at least has one basis principle they can agree on, like, hey, I'm an American, you're an American, let's do this together. Let's find out who's actually funding this. Let's find out who's supporting this. Let's find out who reaps to benefit from this, and we'll find the man behind the curtain. Yet the problem is the mainstream media likes to stoke it up. And so many people are so incredibly stupid, they can't figure that out. So what they do is they just start going along the lines. They, well, I'm this side, I'm this side. Please understand, that's what they want. They don't want you to think outside of the box. They don't want you to be divergent. They don't want you to start thinking different ways than they tell you to do. They want you to follow this side or this side. George Bush talked about it on Hagman last night. You're with us or you're with the terrorists? You're with us, terrorists. Us, terrorists. Well, how about I don't think we need to invade Iraq? They probably don't have weapons of mass destruction. You can't say that. We know they do. You're a liar. You're a terrorist now. I'm not a terrorist. I just don't think we need to do another invasion of another country that we can't afford. Nope, you're a terrorist. Okay, fine. Let's support going in. There was only two options they ever give you. They always do this option. And so the reason why it's becoming such a problem is because nobody wants to think outside the box anymore. You know, I talked in detail last night about Palantir and the contract that they're getting with DOD to compile all the information from every agency, including Homeland Security, right? Every agency, it compile a database that's AI algorithm driven on each individual person so they can combat illegal immigration. Well, that's great. We need to stop illegal immigration. That's huge. That's a massive problem that needs to be addressed. However, isn't it always like this? They say, we have to do this in order to protect you. So you got to give up some more rights. Why do I have to give up rights to protect us against illegal immigration? Well, it's because the way we're going to do it. We're doing AI-driven Palantir system that's going to monitor everyone all the time in real time, have a database on everyone. Well, here's the issue I have with that, and I brought this up in details. I had a conversation this week with my good buddy who does a lot of contract work still. He's the one who sent me the applications. I'm not doing any. I never had combat tours. He had the application for the Haiti contract, which we're sending like $100 million already granted out from the DOD to go down to Haiti. You know, it's $1,500 a day plus per diem for the contractors. They want 4 combat tours, specializing in Overwatch, specializing in CQB. We're putting some money down in Haiti right now. It's going to go hot down there very quickly. Because I told you, academia is basically getting the contract, but another branch of academia is getting it. Because all these military contractors, they all have umbrella corporations and different corporations and LLCs they operate under. And I was talking to him about it the other night, about what's going on in Haiti and the contractors are going out. They want, you know, they want operators. They want MARSOC. They want Rangers. And so they're bringing some boys down there. And my buddy's handling a lot of the Overwatch as far as air support. And I asked him about this whole thing with Palantir. And he goes, here's the issue with Palantir, Austin. He goes, you're taking DOD money and you're giving it to an AI contractor that runs databases, that ran COVID algorithms, that ran basically monitoring with COVID vaccines. They did all that with Palantir. And now you're telling him to monitor and control all data inflow from every person in the United States with every agency, whether it's your Social Security, whether it's your bank accounts, whether it's a parking ticket, whether it's a toll violation, whether it's an investigation with, you know, FBI, any of that stuff, it's being coupled into this database and making it all essentially isolated in one area. And he goes, here's the problem that I've heard. He said, this is going to determine what they call a risk assessment score through AI. They're going to do it. He said, I don't know matter of if and when it's going to actually happen, but it will happen at some point in time. And I said, what do you mean by that? He goes, well, they're going to look at the data, firearm purchases, areas you go, geo-tracking, people you associate with, purchases you do on your credit cards, activity, whether you have court dates, whether you have lawsuits, whether you have tickets. Everything is going to get compiled in a giant AI algorithm. And I said, well, what's that going to determine? He goes, it's going to be a risk assessment score. It's not going to be public. You're not going to be able to go online and check it, like your credit score. He goes, this is going to be based on a federal background. So they're going to come in, and their AI is going to say, well, your risk assessment score is at 7.5 based on it. So whenever there's an issue, if they investigate you, if they pull you over, if they're looking into you, it's going to show your automatic AI risk assessment score so they can determine how much of a risk you're going to be. Here's the problem. It's not going to be just based for illegals. It's based for all individuals in the United States, which means it comes down to it. Okay, what happens when they deem you too risky? You haven't done anything yet. Let's clarify this. You're not under indictment. You're not investigation, but it deems too risky in a threshold. And AI goes, oh, you've broken the 8.5 point threshold now. This individual is high risk. You need to basically start looking at them for domestic terrorism. Doesn't even matter if you're not a domestic terrorist. AI's deemed it so. This is the same problem that happened. I keep bringing it up, and everybody wants to like act like it's not real with the Lavender AI machine directing Israelis' bombs and their drone strikes. They used this as a first-hand beta test to see what AI could do. It went in and immediately targeted 37,000 people that they said were possibly linked to Hamas. Not directly linked, possibly linked, based on people that associated with people that associated with people associated. And then they said, hey, if a small individual that you think may have associated with Hamas, as long as it's not more than 20 civilian casualties, you can do an airstrike on them without human approval. If they're an upper alleged Hamas individual, you can have up to 100 civilian casualties with no human approval. It's all documented here. And so what's crazy about it is you're seeing these things be put into place by AI at a rapid time, but yet nobody's wanting to question. Everyone was going, oh, they're deporting people in California. We need to start riots. They're doing this. They're doing this. It's designed to keep people distracted and keep them from looking what's really going on behind the scenes. At the same time, you know, you've got this mandatory anti-drunk driving tech that I've talked about briefly that came about with the Build Back Better bill a couple years back. Now this has been pushed off to 2027. GM has said they're already about it. And what they want to start doing is they want to have basically tech in the vehicle that monitors your eyes, how you look to determine if you're inebriated, to have alcohol monitoring sniffers in the car to determine if there's alcohol in the car, and a host of other monitors on a regular basis that are going to determine if you're under the influence or not. And if they are, they disable the vehicle and it notifies law enforcement. I kid you not, the technology is right here. They talk about what they're trying to do with it. And so that it came out now, the anti-drunk driving tech mandate has gotten 18,000 negative comments in the open comment section. By the way, I recommend you go on there. I've written on it as well because the National Highway Safety Administration released the advance notice of proposal rulemaking. They have to do this legally. They would mandate impaired driving detection systems for every new passenger vehicle sold in the United States. And so 18,000 public comments later, now they have no clear implementation update, no final rule, no rollout plan. It looks like it's possibly being shelved now for future use, which, good riddance, this thing needs to go away. And let me clarify this. This has nothing to do with drunk driving. Drunk driving is not smart at all. That's a horrific thing to do in some cases. It can be deadly. It's not smart. I don't condone it. This isn't about drunk driving. This is about monitoring and controlling the population to be able to travel freely, unmolested, on your way with the last possible thing that you can do in your life that's free, and that's drive a car from Florida to Montana if you want to go on a road trip. They want to be able to control and monitor everything. Why do you think all new vehicles, they tie into the internet now? They want to tie into the cloud. They want all these updates that constantly connect all the time. you can't get away from it. Now they want to have anti-drunk driving, impaired driving detection systems that watch your eyes, that smell your breath, that listen to your voice to determine if you're inebriated. That could go back to hell where it came from. There is no place at all under any circumstances that belongs in the United States, because it's not going to be used for drunk driving. It is going to be used, A, you already know this, for insurance companies to monitor and regulate what you're doing to increase your rates. That's the first thing they're going to do with this data. Secondly, it's going to be used to increase law enforcement budgets and increase the amount of money they get, because they're going to be able to do more pullovers, more arrests, more engagements, find a reason to pull you over. There's a video I saw the other day, and it was a college student, and it was back from like 2 years ago. He's embroiled in a lawsuit with him now. He gets pulled over. They ask him what he's doing. He's basically driving home. He gives him his ID. He's recording the conversation, and they ask him to get out, and then he's on body cam. They have all the video footage of it. He's extremely polite. He's kind of a goofy kid. He's a football player, but he's just kind of funny. And they go, well, we need you to do a breathalyzer test. Your eyes are glassy. And he goes, okay, I'll do a breathalyzer test. Does a breathalyzer test. 0.00. They go, when's the last time you smoked pot? He goes, I don't smoke pot. I'm a football player. I get drug tested. Nope, you're under the influence. I can tell you're under the influence. He's like, dude, I'm not under the influence of anything. You're under arrest for driving under the influence. They arrest him. Take him. He submits to a urine sample. Nothing. He submits to a blood sample. Nothing. They drop all the charges and release him the next day. And now he sued the crap out of him because he's like, why is it that you guys just get to determine that I'm inebriated and I'm not? I blow breathalyzer. You say, well, that's not good enough. You ask me if I'm using drugs. I tell you, no, that's not good enough. You take me to jail. Do all these tests. It's still not good enough. You go, whoopsie, sorry. More bad. You can leave now. We'll drop the charge and dismiss it. And that's the problem you start having with some law enforcement, not all of them, when they have that open-ended ability to do anything they want at any point in time. And now you throw AI into it. So now it's not just going to be human operations. Now it's going to be AI determine this. I have to arrest you now because AI is saying this. Well, I didn't do anything. AI is saying your risk assessment score is 9.5 based on what's happening. I have to detain you now and book you because something you did wrong. But I didn't do anything wrong. AI says you're going to do something wrong. This goes back to movie Minority Report. So very, very clearly, make sure you're getting involved with some of the stuff with public comments. That happened with ATF a while back ago. They had public comments on the braces and different stocks, and that stuff got shut down. They get shut down all the time. And speaking of ATF, this is interesting. ATF merger with DEA is looking more likely. Now, on the outside, this looks like it could be something that people go, well, it could maybe could something, and machine gun running with cartel members, they facilitate it. In most cases, they want to go back to basically their annexes and go, oh, well, we're just going to see what's going to happen here. We're going to find out there was somebody wrote down a wrong serial number on a FFL transfer, so we're going to go arrest them now because they made a mistake. That's what they do in most cases. And what's funny about this is, this really is not what everybody thinks it's going to be, so I really hope this doesn't happen. I recommend people get involved. They said ATF has long been non-exclusive when it comes to gun regulation because they continually do all kinds of stupid stuff to try to increase their budget and get involved in things like trying to find problems that don't exist, manufacture problems that don't exist. And what's ironic about it, a retired ATF agent with serious gun experience said pretty much the key to the agency is a complete overhaul. He was with them for 23 years. He's actually been embroiled in lawsuits with them because he says they're so incompetent. He said he's actually had data techs from ATF. He's watched them get on the stand under oath and flat out lie about what they gathered and determined that so-and-so was doing something. It's just a bold-faced lie. He said another problem is here. He said ATF has never been trained to the level of they should have been. He said half of them don't even understand a lot of stuff about firearms and technology. They don't know anything. And he said ATF has been ruled again on these topics by every level of federal court. He said one of the biggest issues is, he said, ATF's longstanding interpretation of what legally constitutes a firearm frame receiver, arm braces, its criminalization of force reset triggers, and other hot-button topics. ATF's been ruled on these topics every time by federal court, even the Supreme Court, because they're acting outside of their authority and intentionally misrepresenting the statutory definitions. The Supreme Court ruled as far as on the bump stocks a while back ago. Some of the personnel in the tech division, he said, I personally seen take oath in federal courtrooms and then testify to things that they knew were not true. And so, again, adding these guys to the DEA, which the DEA has already got their own little host of stuff that they got to work on, yeah, it's definitely something that I don't think is feasible. Also, too, if you guys saw this, Boeing shares tumble after that 787 Dreamliner crash. This is sad. This is one thing to look at right now. I saw this here earlier, the Air India flight to London. I've been watching more information on that, but obviously Boeing shares went to the floor. This is, again, I don't know if this goes back to DEI. I don't know if this goes back to Boeing not handling maintenance properly or build properly. I don't know. But, man, it has been a rough last couple of years for a lot of these airline companies, flat out. I mean, this has been rough. So, again, I just be cautious when you're flying. It's just the whole thing that goes down to when you saw some of this stuff come out. Now, it doesn't matter how skilled you are in building a plane. It doesn't matter how skilled you are in flying a plane. All it matters is what your sexual preference is or what your background is as far as, you know, it really doesn't make any sense. But again, that's the world that we live in today, and that's what we're watching now. So just something that I thought was interesting here. Now, this is also another interesting news that I pulled up earlier here is Joe Rogan did an interview. This is going to another health topic with Dr. Mary Taylor Bowden, and this is coming out more and more now because this goes on the tails of what happened with the one girl that's basically in the lawsuit now. Or not, she died. Her family's in the lawsuit and trial about wrongful death. She had Down syndrome, basically was 19 years old, and the hospital essentially killed her. And she goes into detail in this video, and I'll post this on the website. She was a Texas-based ENT specialist who rose to prominence in the medical freedom movement by speaking out against vaccine mandates and advocating for early treatment like ivermectin. And she said in detail, you can read it here. Let me pull it up here. I want you guys to see this. She talked about the level of spike proteins in individuals that are seen in vaccinated versus unvaccinated patients. And she also talks about in detail right here. Pull it up on this camera for landmark trial and alleged wrongful death lawsuit of COVID-19 patients underway in county. And so the way they got around this is they are filing charges in this trial for battery with bodily harm, basically with death, because they had to get around the PREP Act. The PREP Act, if everybody knows, was pretty much the act that got put into place during COVID that allowed every hospital, as long as they followed standard of care, they could not be sued or held liable for anything that happened. It was a brilliant strategy from a psychopathic standpoint. You go in and say, we're going to give everybody remdesivir. We're going to blow their kidneys and liver out. When their lungs fill up with fluid because they're holding water, we're going to put them on a ventilator. We're going to kill them. And we're going to give you guys $100,000 every time we do this. And so as long as you get the patients in and out as quickly as possible, dead, we'll give you $100,000. And if as long as you do it the way we tell you to do it, you cannot be sued. You cannot be personally liable. The hospital cannot be sued. It's a federal law now, executive order, that we have the PREP Act that goes into place. And essentially, that's it. Don't worry about it. You're good to go. There will be no significant consequences. And so trying to cut through the PREP Act has been virtually impossible for anyone that's had severe side effects from the shot or from the hospital or from remdesivir and so forth. And she flat out said in here, said there's a lawsuit talking about this, and she talked about how COVID protocol was basically euthanizing people on a regular basis to get beds free, to get more people in, to increase revenue, and that a lot of the heads of the hospital, because they had so much cash coming in and they were so financially incentivized, they were letting people die. And that's what they did to this girl. They signed a DNR on her, do not resuscitate. because she had COVID. They said, well, she's going to die anyways. Let her die. Let her die real quick. We can free up the bed, get another COVID patient in here because, you know, COVID, the pandemic's here. We got to get everybody in we can. We got to put them on remdesivir and kill them. And so they started running the numbers up, and that's how they got the COVID deaths to where they were. Very few people actually died. Very healthy people died. Very few healthy people died from actual COVID that I ever knew. And I dealt with it firsthand all over Florida with people that were happening and stuff down here, people that were getting sick and calling me and emailing me. Everybody was blowing up my phone every day. I mean, I lived on the phone, lived on the email. And I remember so many times people called me up, said, I don't know what to do. I'm having this issue. I said, what's your call? I'm not going to tell you what to do. I said, but N-acetylcysteine is great for the lung tissues, detoxifying the body. The vitamin C, D3, and zinc is crucial. If you got some ivermectin you can get a hold of, throw that into the kitchen sink. And I said, set it, forget it. You'll be done in a couple days, and it sucks, and you'll feel horrible. And you'll feel fine. You'll get past it. And almost everybody that listened to me on that did fine. And then I had quite a few people that said, I'm going to go to the hospital. I'm just nervous. I'm going to go to the hospital. And a large percentage of them never came out of the hospital alive. And I went to many, many, many funerals. Everybody goes, well, COVID's killing everyone. I said, COVID's not killing everyone. Remdesivir is killing everyone. And, you know, I got on a hype about it with Doug last night. You know, it was a drug that was used for Ebola testing in 2016 in Africa. So they tried the first clinical trials of it, and they had to pull half the participants off of it within the first 5 days because they were getting organ failure. On the insert, on Wikipedia, it says remdesivir, the primary adverse event from remdesivir is respiratory failure and organ failure, primarily the liver and the kidneys. It says it on the insert. They admit it. They say it knocks your lungs out, and it knocks your liver and your kidneys out from the drug. But yet, it's suddenly the beginning of 2020 with no significant research of COVID viruses at all. Dr. Fauci and his infinite insanity, that psychopath that he is, he got it ramrodded through to emergency use as a standard of care for COVID. Guys, that wasn't an accident. That drug was shelved in 2016, 2017 by Gilead. They couldn't run it. They couldn't get approval on it. It was too deadly. That wasn't just a, we're going to pick this one out of a hat and see if it works. They knew what it was going to do to people from the clinical trials. That's why they brought it to market. They ran emergency use on it, so it was covered under that blanket. It didn't have to go through any significant trials whatsoever, and then it went to the market. And the company that makes remdesivir made billions off it. They were shipping pallets. I remember there was a customer, great listener, and he sent me a photo. He was a distributor for Healthline products all across the Southwest. And he sent me multiple photos one time. I'm sure I have them somewhere in my email. And they're personal photos off his cell phone. He was taking them. And there were pallets of the liquid remdesivir in the jugs. And I mean, he sent me the labels on them. He sent solutions on them, everything. Pallets. There's one photo, it was like 7 pallets. The bottom of a hospital, they dropped off 7 pallets of remdesivir. That's how much these hospitals were burning through to make sure everybody's organs blew out and they killed them because they needed to make that money. And people go, well, that's pretty dark. A lot of people weren't doing that on purpose. I'm not saying everybody was doing that on purpose, but I'm telling you one thing. I was at the forefront telling everybody to stay off this stuff from the very beginning, and almost everything I said was right, and now people are coming back and going, it's funny. Austin knew this stuff, and Ted knew this stuff, and we figured it out in 2020 and told everybody to stay away from it. But yet the federal government and their infinite amount of cash and clinical trials and scientists and researchers and the brightest minds from all over the world just accidentally made a mistake. They're just being inept. They're being stupid. Guys, they're not that dumb. They're actually pretty brilliant. They know exactly what they're doing. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a joke. It wasn't a mistake. It was intentional. And once you realize that and you get the gist of it, then it starts showing you what you need to do in the future to maintain your health. Getting off the high fructose corn syrup, getting off the food coloring, getting your kids healthy, getting your kids strong. That's one of the biggest things I always tell people. Is raise your kids the way you know you need to raise them. A lot of times people are raised certain ways. Doesn't mean you have to raise your kids that way. Doesn't mean you have to do it. You could raise your kids different. It's okay. That's good. If you weren't raised very good, or you ate junk, or you had health problems when you were growing up, that doesn't mean you have to replicate the same problems again in your children. Make changes that you know are going to be healthy for them. You know, that's why the Ultimate Multiple Chewable and the Children's Cod work so good, those two by itself, and getting kids healthy and then cutting out the crap cereal. That is one of the biggest things I tell people. If you can do anything with your kids' diet, get them off the store cereal and the homogenized milk in the morning. Make them some eggs. Make them some organic oatmeal. Give them some protein shakes with it. Make the food good, yum and funny, yummy and fun, so they like it, they enjoy it. You don't have to give them toxic sludge with an enormous amount of sugar and high fructose corn syrup and dyes in it. Do your research and do the best you can. And that's why we put together all these kits on here. And we even have the vitamin D3 liquid. That's one of the ones you can add to the kids as far as with their milk or stuff like that. This is one of the main ones we put together, was the children's DHA and the Ultimate Multiple Chewable, because it works so good. And by the way, this cod and these chewable can still be used by adults. I've tried both of these. I've tried every single product we had, everything. And this is something that you can still take. Parents can take. Adults can still take if you want to. It works really good still. I know parents that get this, they take the chewable, they take a little bit of strawberry cod with their kids. And it works great. So you don't have to isolate yourself to a box. You can use and utilize certain things. So again, that's what I continually try to encourage everyone to do on here, because at the end of the day, your health is your responsibility. There's a lot of stuff, man, all this stuff going on. I mean, you can't control everything. I don't want to control everything. It's too much work. I don't want to be involved in half this stuff. But I can at least got to get the information out so everybody makes their own decisions at the best place possible to do so. And that's why we encourage we do it this show. That's why on thebrewershow.com, I encourage you guys to get updates on the show here. Put your name, put your email in, sign up for the Brewer Show and Health Master. I recommend both of them. Subscribe on here so you can get, the updates every day straight to your email. And get this information out there. We're going to be doing a lot of updates and a lot of more tie-ins with the new website updates that we're doing, with a lot of the different things tying in with the Brewer Show. So make it easier for people to get like snippets, 1 minute snippets, reels and stuff out as well. It just takes a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of money to expand a lot of this stuff. And there's only a few of us working on it, because we want to make sure we keep everything as controlled as possible and not let bad individuals get involved with stuff. You know, not too long ago, I was contacted by another media agency. I'm not going to put their name out there. They wanted to start doing advertisement with our show. And I asked them, I said, okay. I said, what's the money going to be? What's the advertisement going to be? What's the product going to be? Well, it won't be anything directly competing with you. I said, okay, that's a must, obviously, right out the gate. What else? Well, there's not really a limitation. Okay, so what are you not going to be able to show on there? Well, there's pretty much nothing. They want to be able to show pharmaceutical drugs if they wanted. They want to be able to show pretty much anything they wanted, and they didn't want us to have a say in it. They were going to offer a very sizable amount of marketing money to it. And I'm like, it's going to generate revenue. I said, but it's going to compromise it, because I don't know what you're going to play. I don't know if you're going to put, you know, the gay bus going to the rainbow flag, you know, party on there. I don't know what you're going to do. They go, well, it does. We're not going to do stuff like that. I said, I don't know what you're going to do. It's the contract here shows you're pretty much open, free, open-ended. You can do whatever you want. And so I declined it. You know, me and Doug talked about that a couple weeks ago. A lot of these companies are trying to infiltrate as many of the alt media as they can, so they can get them to start changing their topics, changing what they're talking about. Because at the end of the day, and I'm just going to say this, they don't want you talking about what you're not allowed to talk about. Find out who you can't criticize and find out who controls the narrative. You know, there's an article that popped up earlier today, and I saw it, and it says, father was told Hamas killed his son, was actually killed by the Israeli military. This is on LifeSite News. Tom Godo was killed by Israeli soldiers who shot him through the door of the shelter he was hiding in on October 7th. However, Israel told him that his son was killed by Hamas, later to come out in the investigation now, after a year and a half, that Hamas did not kill his son. The Israeli soldiers accidentally machine gunned him through a door because they thought there was a terrorist on the other side in the bunker. So they just shot through the door. Again, mistakes happen in war. But you know, one thing that I brought up the other day, I was talking to a friend about it. We were talking about World War II and some of the atrocities and some of the horrible things that happened. And I said, please do me a favor, because World War II likes to be the footnote to everything with, you know, the Holocaust and everything around it. There were some horrific things that happened. But please, if you can, do me a favor. Show me a global conflict or even a regional conflict, even a war, that crimes against humanity or war crimes didn't occur in. Please show me one. Doesn't exist. Every single time there's a war, it's hell. It's always like that. And I'm not justifying anything that occurs. It's outside the scope of the conflict and the battle zone. But at the end of the day, when you sit there and you pick one conflict to continually fixate on and say, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, and this is the way it happened. Okay, well, what about this conflict? What about Sherman's march to sea in the Civil War? Why in the world does he take a 60-mile swath from Atlanta all the way to Savannah and burned every living thing and every farm and raped every woman and took the railroad ties and bent them around trees after they heated them up, called them Sherman's bow ties, so the railroads could not get in and out of the southern states, including Georgia, to get products in and out and goods? Why'd they burn all the fields? That wasn't anything that was even remotely necessary. And again, it was a gigantic war crime, but Lincoln signed off on it. Again, nobody wants to talk about that. Every conflict's got significant problems in it. It's hell. So again, always wonder when you start hearing somebody bring up these topics, oh, this happened and this happened. Look at the full scope of everything's occurring and look outside the box, because in most cases, there's a lot more to meets the eye than people want to talk about on there. And when you start looking at stuff now, approving AI drones to act autonomously and start identifying what they deem as a subject at a 90% accuracy rate, by the way, this, it was 90%, that was it. So they had 10,000 kills, 9,000 were justified. You know, the other 1,000 they had, well, whoopsie. That's just a little problem we had there on that one. So always look at this stuff as when it happens like that, it's an issue. But at the end of the day, you got to make sure you're reading everything through a different scope of what the media is trying to tell you on that. There's also another article that came up here on D3. It popped up earlier that I wanted to cover since you guys voted for it. It's on sale. It says the vitamin D3 supplements may slow the process linked to aging. D3 can be obtained through sunlight or a number of foods along with supplements. This goes in the paper released by the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Me and Doug went into this in detail last night. On May 22nd, the Mass General Brigham and Medical College of Georgia looked at results from a randomized controlled trial known as VITAL, showing that taking vitamin D supplements can help support telomeres, which are the protective ends of the chromosomes. This is of particular interest. Vital had also shown benefits of vitamin D reducing inflammation, lowering risk of selected chronic diseases of aging, such as advanced cancer and autoimmune diseases, my friends. So again, another reason why it's really important to stay up to date on D3, from reducing MS symptoms to autoimmune problems like that, to helping out with the immune system, to keeping the macrophage strong for the immune system, and especially, and I say this really, really clearly, especially if you're pregnant, get your D3 levels tested. I remember when I talked to one of the midwives a while back ago, and she said that the vast majority of females that came in that were pregnant had dangerously low levels of vitamin D. She said some of the women came in with single-digit levels of vitamin D, ng per milliliter. Single-digit, and they're pregnant. D3 is crucial for the fetus, crucial for almost every aspect of development for the baby. Make sure you're taking elevated levels of it on a regular basis and getting it for what you need it for and staying stocked up on it, because at the end of the day, if it is to be, it's up to you guys. And so I appreciate the support on that. I appreciate you guys getting the truth out there every single rate and every single day and getting it out there. Now, what's interesting about this, this is something that's interesting here. The Wisconsin breaks from CDC, keeps the COVID-19 vaccine recommendation for pregnant women. This is wild. Wisconsin officials said the vaccine prevents severe illness and death. It does not. There's been no research to show that at all. It doesn't stop you from contracting COVID. It doesn't stop you from spreading COVID. They were very clear on that, and it doesn't prevent severe illness or death. They go in now, and they're, especially in pregnant women. They said they're keeping in place the recommendation that all pregnant women and all children receive one of the currently available COVID-19 vaccines. The health services said on June 4th, continuing to recommend it for 6 months old and older. Gosh, dude. They go on to say here that the current COVID vaccine was thoroughly reviewed for safety and effectiveness and continues to be an important tool in preventing severe illness and death. It was not thoroughly reviewed for safety and effectiveness. They admitted that. Even Pfizer admitted that. And again, this shot was never tested against an inert placebo. It was tested against multiple other adjuvants in the placebo group, so it kept the standard deviation to a normal range so they could get approval on it. This is how they get the shots rolled out. Nobody wants to address that. They said the decision should be based on informed consent to the clinical judgment of your healthcare provider, and essentially they're going against the CDC and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Because again, and I can't prove this, and I don't know this at all, but I could almost bet you money the Wisconsin Health Department, at some point in time in that department, you've got some individuals that are getting some type of either bribes, lobbying, kickbacks, trips, vacations, some benefit from these shots. Whatever it may be, again, just speculating, but every time you dig under a rock deep enough, you'll find that that's usually what's happening in order to push these shots, just like the Blue Cross Blue Shield incentives with the pediatricians, where if they have, you know, 90%, 97% or higher of their kids fully vaccinated on the shot schedule, they get tier bonuses throughout the year. I think all the way up to, it's like all the way up to $80,000 of a bonus per year, 80 grand. So you got to massively incentivize to make sure kids get the shots, no matter the health repercussions, no matter the issues. It does not matter. They continue to push it every single day on there. And so, again, that's why, you know, the shot, a spike protein survival kit, that was a good one we put together. It was the natokinase, the D, or the vitamin E, and also the N-acetylcysteine. And those were really good at helping, from what we've seen, get people reduce symptoms of long COVID that have had COVID and they're still suffering symptoms, or people that have had the vaccine side effects from it. Because those all three products work together really good to detoxify, to keep the blood naturally thin, and prevent blood clots. Because that was the big one, and it still is the big one that a lot of people aren't addressing anymore, is a significant amount of blood clots that are occurring in so many individuals that got that shot. And so again, it's one of those reasons why you got to start doing some more research and actually know what you're getting involved in. Because there's something that's, you know, they're not going to tell you the truth on here. They're not going to be honest with you at all about anything. Because at the end of the day, they've got a significant amount of financial incentive to go along with this stuff. And so it's just, it's what they're doing with it. Now, also, too, I saw an article here that was popping up. It was saying now that the Hearing Protection Act, it looks like it was going through now as far as to remove suppressors. It had passed. The Senate's reviewing it now. We will see how far it goes and how far they try to drag it through with everything if they don't reject it. That'll be a big one. I'll keep you all my gun heads updated on that. Because if they can pull suppressors off the NFA list and make them just regular firearm accessory or even listed as a firearm background check with a NICS, that's going to be a huge, huge win for the Second Amendment. Because at the end of the day, we can't just defend against these tyrannical laws or regulations that ATF tries to put in. They're completely illegal. You can't just defend. You've got to go on the offensive at some point and push back. It's just a fact of the matter. It's like all we constantly do are defending against breaches of the Second Amendment, violation of rights. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, when are we going to push back and get some stuff in our favor? When are we going to say, okay, now we're pulling this off the NFA list? There should be no reason or any circumstances that suppressors are regulated with the ATF and NFA Act. There's none. They really reduce hearing damage. a massively increased shooter sport as far as being able to shoot and not have people have as much of a report and hurt their hearing and be able to train easily. It's really great for women and kids that want to shoot. It's not as intimidating anymore. It's great for long-range hunting, especially if you want to keep the report down in areas and you're not bellowing out rounds everywhere. They're great on every level. I love cans. And so the fact of the matter is it needs to be pulled off, and that's why I recommend everybody get involved with that stuff. And if you guys need anything on the website, we got some more kits that we're throwing together here. Be sure you guys are signing up for the weekly newsletter. And I know you guys are waiting for some new specials to come out. I'll have them out here probably next week. I got some stuff I'm going to be working on. The GHI Cleanse 3-Pack, probably one of the best formulas we have that detoxifies the liver. I was talking to Doug about that in detail last night, about how much he loves the GHIs. I get so many positive reports from it. And also, too, the other one on here, my favorite, the Ultimate Focus Stack with the purple sticks and the attention factor. This is always a good one. I get a lot of feedback on this one, especially, too, because I found, I'm not making any claims, but I've talked to people that have had issues with being on Adderall for way too long, especially a lot of kids I knew in college. And the problem is, Adderall, it burns both ends of the candle. Yes, in some cases, it can make you very efficient and focused, but it makes you less efficient and less focused when you're off of it the longer you take it, if that makes sense. The amphetamines really cook the brain long term. It's not a healthy compound to take, guys. And I'm not recommending it at all. If you've been on it for a while, or you're on it as a kid, and you've taken it for a while, there's basically neurodegenerative supplements you can run, like the B complex that can really help out with the brain, the magnesium brain food. But being able to take stuff that maybe helps you focus again, like the attention factor, is a great option that I really recommend for a lot of those individuals that may have a hard time focusing. That's why I put attention factor. That's the name of it. And it helps out without really having any side effects. Because at the end of the day, guys, those amphetamines, those Schedule II amphetamines, they are extremely hard on the brain. They wear the body out. They're showing now an increased risk of cardiovascular problems with people that take those drugs long term, because it's just pushing the body too hard. And so again, you need a push. The attention factor does great with that. If you want to stack it with a purple stick, you could do that and really get some great results from it. And give me your feedback on it. Give me some reviews. Let me know what you think, because at the end of the day, I appreciate you guys, and I want you guys to be healthy and strong and continue to keep the truth out there every day. Because we're all in this together. We really are. I mean, we couldn't do this without you guys. The other day, we had a customer call in the office, and he was going on and on about basically the Ultimate Multiple Powder. And he's like, the stuff's great. He said it may have been a little too sweet. Somebody else made a comment about that the other day. And, you can dilute it with water, or if you want to cut down on the sweetness, because the problem is that product's very strong. Ultimate Multiple Powder, it works. It is strong. You can only take one or two scoops at a time if you need it. You can take up to four. I recommend starting with one. But if you want to cut it down, mix it in with a Fit Food protein shake. That's what I do every morning, or the GHI. You need to be getting the Fit Food or the GHI in every day for additional protein. The GHI helps out with detoxifying. You soak two scoops of the multiple powder in with the GHI vanilla, it actually tastes really, really good. It's a lot better than it ever used to taste when we first ran it out there. I'd work on that formula a lot with the GHI. So again, if it's something that's too strong for you just in water by itself, mix it in with a shake supplement we have, like the GHI or the Fit Food, and it'll cut down on that little bit of sweetness. But we did have to use a decent amount of monk fruit in that Ultimate Multiple because it has so much B12 and B-complex in it. It had a very bitter flavor when I first built it. And so I tried to add that in there to overcompensate for it. And I think it tastes pretty doggone good. A lot of people never tried the original one. And the original one was good, but then a lot of people said it had too much B vitamins. So I added some more monk fruit, fixed it. Now people say it's a little too sweet sometimes. I also get people say that's awesome. So give it a try. If it's a little too sweet on your end, throw it in some GHI. But I promise you, you will get great results. And the results you get from it will be continual, sustained energy that you feel, and not just some big crash like drinking an energy drink and wearing your body out on that, my friend. So give me the feedback on it. Give it a try. Let me know what you think. Put some reviews out. Call me or text me. Email me. basically at Team Health Master. You can go on there or call us 1-800-726-1834. We're here to help you guys out as much as we possibly can, and I appreciate the support, my friends, every single day. Grab one of the shakers if you like. I mean, like I said, they're drop-proof. I'm talking about my truck. It bounced. It didn't crack. That was the goal. You guys have a good evening, my friends. Stay strong and healthy, and we'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow, as always.